Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's October 23rd. October 23rd, 2022. Scotty, it's all yours.
Yes, sir.
You're all making right. Now, so stop making noise.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Anyway, if you want to join the show, please press 1 on your keypad. And if you're not talking, please mute yourself if you already say something. That being said, good evening, everybody. Got Jimmy on? Adrian?
Oh, hold on for a minute. Adrian, is this Adrian?
Yeah,
and there's Jimmy.
It's me.
And there's 313. Okay. All right, guys.
Go say your thing, Adrian, and then I got a little thing, and then let's get this show rocking and rolling, folks.
Go ahead, Adrian.
Right. I would like to speak to every veteran out there about this Camp Lejeune. I would like to tell you, instead of you calling those lawyers, go to the VA hospital and see the VFW or the DAV or the American Legions. Usually, if there's something out there that the lawyers will fight for you to get, that dealing with veterans' benefits, there is some free money there. You should not be paying for a lawyer if it's free money at the VA. Check with your local VA hospital, please. The other thing that I would like to mention, the monitor of the UAW has come up with what's called rules for observers. I was to be an observer for Brian Keller as of November the 29th. The monitors brought out a ruling on September the 2nd that says that if you are not vaccinated and boosters required, you're not fully vaccinated with the boosters, you will not be allowed to be an observer.
Oh, man.
So, this was written on September the 2nd. It did not even allow you proper time to get fully vaccinated and boosted. The other part is, I don't understand why you would have to be vaccinated or boosted when most UAW workers aren't vaccinated. This is not a federal program. The feds are not paying for this. We are paying the monitor our dues, not the federal government. So to put a stipulation on us like that, but yet and still our members can go to work every day? Yes, right. I'm real pissed off because I feel like this is a setup.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they're doing. People are getting ballots that are deceased. People that are ex-employees are getting ballots. People better open up their eyes and see that something is very, very wrong. I am through with my rants for the day. I am now going to sit back and listen to everyone. Thank you.
Well, I didn't even know you were going that way, but I have something to throw out on the tail end of that, I guess, then. For those that are having these issues of contacting international staff over being able to be a challenger, as we know it, or getting issued a ballot to a deceased family member, or an ex-employee getting a ballot, and you can't even get anybody at the international staff. We've been in contact with some high-up people at the Department of Justice, and I'm speaking for Pat Myers and Laws. If you would mail a hard copy of your complaint to Laws, P.O. Box 265 West Olive, Michigan. Area code 49460. And put in the subject, you know, put on there exactly what's happening, what your complaint is. She has a lot of people over on that side of the state that are ex-employees out of Delphi and that over there that are now getting ballots and are now getting Solidarity Now magazines. Remember what they said, folks. Vote early and vote often. I'll end my rant.
Wow, sounds like there's some shenanigans going on here. I think that's the right word.
That's a good word.
It's an appropriate word for right now, I think.
Yeah, that's keep us safe on the air.
Yeah. Something don't smell right in Denmark, right?
Well, the milk is sour.
Yeah, that's true.
President Biden said that the pandemic is over with. I don't know why everybody has to have a shot.
Well, what troubles me about that is that it's like there's no other way. You have to have this shot. Now, for medical reasons, I will not take the vaccine because I could possibly die. And so you're not giving me a way out. I have to have it according to what you've written. You know, it's just things. I don't understand how they're coming up with this all of a sudden.
They're supposed to have exemptions for people who have
right.
medical conditions. That was under the federal guidelines itself.
And that's true. But according, and this is, let me see, how many pages was this? This is 7 pages. Yeah, it's actually 6 pages and a sentence on the seventh page. But there is nothing for exemptions there. And you have to have a vaccination or vaccine card in order to enter.
I don't throw this word around lightly.
Okay.
But I think it fits here. I think it's discrimination.
Yes.
A type of discrimination.
Yes.
And coupled with the subject at hand and the timing of the matter, the milk is definitely spoiled.
Yes. Yes.
Just a simple observation.
I mean, if this was going to be part of the rules, right, it should have been in the monitor's official rules in Section 7, where they talked about observers, it should have said in those official rules that was written back in May that you were going to have to be vaccinated. There's nothing in his original official rules that were written in May under Section 7 that says anything about a vaccination. Now, if maybe someone would have said, well, I'll go and get the vaccine. I've got time to get the 2 doses, and I have time to get the boosters. Because, you know, they keep adding another booster every time you close your eyes. So, you know, you would have had time to get everything. And so this way, by you doing it in September, and I don't even know if you sent that out to every candidate. I know as a credentialed representative, I got no correspondence on that. But that's probably because they don't have the credentialed representatives' email addresses on the forms that are submitted. So So I'll give you a pass on that. But every candidate, you should have sent an amendment, addendum, whatever you want to call this, to them. And then they should have passed it along to their credentialed people and even their observer, because your observer may not be your credentialed representative. So now, in order for you to have an observer there, you're going to have to run around and find somebody who's fully vaccinated with boosters, and they haven't misplaced their vaccination card. It's just, to me, a lot of shenanigans. Oh, I almost didn't say shenanigans.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Right? But, you know, yeah. It's everything that's being done. The monitor, whether he knows it or not, it's like you're doing things against the candidates that are not the ones of the administration caucus. Because, of course, you allow them to help to make the rules.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's why I didn't want to really.
Hell, they already got our addresses, don't they? Everybody's getting their shit in the mail. It costs us $100,000 to get something mailed. Man. Speak the truth. Everybody's got their shit, haven't you?
Nope. I haven't got my ballot yet.
I haven't got
you
mine.
You haven't got your ballot yet?
No.
I wasn't talking about ballots. I was talking about the bullshit handbills and their propaganda. They have our address. They got it fucking free.
Right. Right. I know what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the political crap that we're getting in the mail, telling us who to vote for.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we can get all of that.
Yeah, we got some phone calls. Let me get them on.
Yeah, push one, folks, but... Push
if
one,
not,
man. Talk to us. Ray, I know you're listening, Ray. Push one. I promise. I'll mute myself. Okay, I'm here to go, folks.
Hold on for a minute. We got some phone calls. But if you're not speaking, please mute your phone. I got a lot of complaints last week for background noise. So please help us out. 313, you're on. 440, you're on. And 615, you're on.
Hello? Can you hear
hello.
Me?
Hello. Yes, I can
hello.
Hear you.
This
how are
is
you?
Sharon. I'm good, and how's everyone there?
We're very good. Nice to hear from
this
you.
Yes, I'd like to introduce who I am, if I may. And I'm Sharon Bell, and I'm running for vice president of your entire UAW, and I'm happy to be involved. Be allowed to come on your show.
Yeah, more than
how long do I have to introduce myself and possibly give you a little history about myself for those who may not know me or know about me, some of my skills and my goals, and then how long will you give me to do that?
Scotty, that's up to you. Jimmy, Adrian? I voted for this young lady at the truck plant, right?
Yeah, you did.
At least
yes,
so.
I sure did. Thank you, Adrian.
You're welcome.
Go I think it's much more informal than that.
Go ahead, hey, Sharon. I don't care. That's fine.
Okay. Well, I know Adrian to keep it short and sweet. Okay, so I'm just going to go tell you about my GM work history, keep that short, my education, some qualifications. You've seen my flyer, my goals, and my statement. The first thing I want to say, just like I did in the candidate forum for those who watched it, The membership is the most important here. My background and all that is great. I do have some. That's why I'm going to tell you. But the membership, all of you, are the most important thing to me, okay? And I want you to know that from the heart. And I won't change that. So I'll go right into my GM work history. I've been transferred to several plants. I currently work at Flint Assembly Truck and Bus, and I was transferred there in 2019, and that's with UAW Local 598. I'm a material driver. I drive every day. I'm working now. The other plant I went to, I transferred. I've been at Flint Assembly twice back in 2011. But from there, I put in a transfer, Appendix A, and I was transferred to GM Warren Powertrain Transmission, Warren, Michigan, UAW Local 909. And I went there September 2013 to 2019. The plant closed. I worked on the 6-speed. I was a D5 driver, hollow drop, forklift truck driver. And I worked on the line as well. The next plant, I went back to Flint Truck and Bus. I was forced there, Local 598. That was the August 2019. And then General Motors Tech Center, I was a temporary worker. I know what it's like to be a temporary worker. And then since Truck and Bus. And that's Local 163, I believe. My printer has that messed up. But let me keep moving. Willow Run Powertrain Transmission is where I got my 30-something years, 36 probably. Ypsilanti, Michigan, the plant closed 2011, and that was the famous UAW Local 735. And like I said, I was there 36 years. I worked as a semi-line worker, labor cleanup, quality inspector. I've done it all. I ran machines. I know what the factory is all about, and that's the Rosie the River plant. I have been under the ground, see where the bombers were made, all of that. It was a great experience. As in terms of my education, I have a Bachelor's of Art, graduated with cum laude from University of Detroit Mercy. I have an Associate's degree from U of D Mercy as a legal assistant, paralegal. I also have my Master's degree in Healthcare Administration from Phoenix University. In addition, I have a HR master's certificate from Phoenix University. So I worked on double while I was working on my master's. In the healthcare issue, I've studied all the healthcare. I just want you to know that I've had to research all the models, Canada, all of that. And I understand Medicare and all of those, particularly under the healthcare program. As far as I have 47 years now, my flyer will say 46, but I'm now reaching 47. I've had many classes, grievance handling training. I never could get elected to handle those grievances other than my own personal grievance, and I am tough about that because I couldn't get elected because they fought me. I've gone to Wayne State Labor Studies. I have 19 years as a locally appointed UAW Quality Network and HRD representative, and that was at UAW Local 735. I was a Document 46 representative for 19 years. The plant closed, and of course I was sent to the tech center. And in that role, as a locally appointed rep, I worked with all the consultants all over the nation that came in. I was the lead person for the QS9000. I was appointed by the chairman to do that under my Document 46 role. So when anybody that's familiar in the auto industry with QS9000, ISO 14000, I worked on the Quality Council with EdGM, with all the consultants, and I also have my training in that area as well, my certificates, and I'm certified for auditing. So I'm very familiar with all of that. UAW, I've taken the classes to be a UAW internal and external consultant, and that involves a lot of training, working with problem-solving people and understanding what it takes to build relationships, which I feel our union needs to do that, and I have some real models that I look at. In terms, okay, now, I was prior, my first experience being elected was I was elected a board member at Lodge at Local 735. That was my first elected position, and then I went on and was appointed after that. Now, prior, I was also a vice chairman of the board of directors. Wait a minute, I got the wrong paper. I'm sorry, I want you to know it like it is. I was elected board of directors at the Unified Community Federal Credit Union, that's in Belleville. And during that process, the directors had enough confidence in me to elect me as the vice president of the directors. I also held the treasury position, where I learned about balance sheets and looking at risk in terms of our financial institution. So I looked at a lot of things, employee wages. And in terms of negotiating, I negotiated for the employees' contracts at the credit union in terms of their benefits, wages, health care, and with the union. And I was elected three times for 3 years, a three-year term each time, and for a total of 9 years. I have a total of 9 years' experience. So that's my negotiating skills there. I'm almost finished. Well, let me just make sure I give you everything. So I had collective bargaining training, and I'm familiar with it. And especially as I worked on the credit union, I gained a lot of knowledge, because, and I was able to really build relationships with the other board of directors. But one of my most important things while I'm participating with anyone, I'm a person, I'm here for the membership, I'm here for the institution. I don't buddy up just to get along. I'm here for the membership, I'm here to look out for the organization. I'm very ethical, very knowledgeable, very educated, and I don't take it lightly to represent the people. So I can work with the team, but I'm not a team player that's going to go along with wrongdoing. I'm going to keep it moving. I've been on the Women's Committee. And to wrap up almost, I want to say this to you. In terms of the retirees being disadvantaged, I was very passionate about that, still am. And I'm the only candidate that has appealed to the U.S. court system for the retirees to run for IEB. I would be their president. You come to me with a problem, I'm going to represent you, whether no matter what the relationship is. So right now today, the monitor and the adjudicator, I appealed their decision. They violated the consent decree and our Constitution. And I wrote the judge, Judge Lawson, and you can Google it, look it up. And he gave them to the 20th to respond to me. And I have until October 27th to respond back to their response. And my response is, you still haven't done it, and I'm going to take it. My intention is, I'm going to let the judge know, because it was a twisted response. I'm going to let the judge know my position, and it looks like we're going to be taking it to the EEOC, because it needs to. He said, you're not an affected party. Injustice to one is injustice to all. Yes, I am. Because you damaged my brother and my sister, and it was wrong. You disenfranchised 580,000 members. And as a member and soon will be a vice president, not being arrogant, if you all vote for me, I am going to stand up, and that's the bottom line. I'm willing to stand up for everyone. My goals wrapping up now. My goal is to eliminate tears, stop corruption, pensions for all, retirees and all workers, COLA. Now, I want to say something real strong here, not with an attitude, and I won't yell. I will be speaking wherever I'm assigned, General Motors, IPS, it doesn't matter. I'm going to insist under my authority that we ask for these things for our members. I appreciate the economy. I understand all of that. But we are going into negotiations, and we need to ask for what we want. When I look at it, the concessions that we've taken in the auto industry, we probably should be making, production should be making $50 an hour, and the steel should be making a little more. Point is, I'm going to ask for it. Regardless of what the monitor said, they have a recession. My people want to be paid. We don't work for free. You need to come out of your pocket with some of that. Now, I will be very professional. I have the skills to be professional. And I will not back down. When we have contract negotiations, it's going to take you to call me and say, hey, Sharon, you got it. Back. Okay, that's it.
Yeah.
Anybody want to say it? Oh, and I'm not a member. One strong thing. I am not. There's a dirty rumor going around, and I don't like it. They're saying that I'm a member of UAWD. I have nothing against UAWD. I'm not looking. I don't even have time for it. I am not a member on any slate. I have not endorsed any candidate. And as a matter of fact, no one's endorsed me. And I'm not endorsing people that don't endorse me. But I'm not into that right now. I'm in the show and the membership that I will stand up for them. And I'm spending my own money that I work every day. They can look at the finance report.
Yeah.
I buy my own. Okay? End of story. Thank you for listening.
Well, thank you. You're definitely qualified. Who's making the noise in the background? Please,
I don't know, but I want to say thank you to Sharon.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. 260, I'll put you on right now. What is that noise?
Sounds like pounding in the back.
What?
Sounds like somebody's pounding. Yeah.
It sounds like somebody's shooting something. Shooting a...
Someone cracking a whip or what?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to start muting people to find out who's doing it so I can get rid of them.
Uh-oh. Right. There it is again.
Uh-oh.
You found out who it was.
Yeah.
Nope. Well, we thought good. Anyway, to keep moving on, is any other candidates on here that want to speak? Now's your time to speak up. Bring out what's going on in your world. And for whoever's slapping the ruler on the table, I hope it's getting your attention because you're irritating the shit out of me. I'm going back on you.
I'll jump on. I'm Mike Turner. I'll jump on real quick. I missed last week, so I got in there late. But I don't really have much to say unless, you know, some topics come up that I can, you know, give my two cents on. Or if anybody had any general questions for me, I'll answer. Otherwise, I'll kind of just sit back and have discussions, basically.
I got one for you, besides the shooting in the background, or whatever that noise is. What do you think about the Case New Holland International tentative agreement?
Well, I haven't got any information on it, so I don't know what's in it. Myself, not yet. I haven't. I've been offline the last couple of days.
I'll try and send that to you. How's that?
See,
at least you have it. Oh, hello.
Wow.
That Carrie or is that 313?
I'm sorry. Hold on.
It's not me.
Uh-oh. It's not me.
No, Carrie doesn't really work at work. I do, though.
Yes.
Ooh.
Boy,
yeah, you better hush that up. I know where you were. Hush it. I'll find you, buddy.
God. 616, I'm putting you on.
There you go, Mike. I sent that to you.
I so just saw it now. Look it over, yeah.
Okay.
Could you send it to Chair and Bill also, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'll try and do that. Okay. Anyway, so, you know, I did not invite this week the other candidates for the VP and for the Secretary Treasurer. I made some contact with them last week, told them, you know, about the show. So if they choose not to come on here, what, that's on them. I'm, you know, I'm not chasing after somebody. So that's their loss, I guess I'm going to say. But anyway, anything else that's going on new? They said Case New Holland's got a tentative agreement. I think it's an insult. That's just me. Without going into it, you know, real deep. I don't know. There's just so much different stuff going on right now all over. It's hard to explain the different levels that all this stuff is happening between the outside world, our money, the elections, both for state and federal, and definitely for the UAW. There's a lot of stuff that people have to chew on all at one time. And my recommendation is to look at the candidates, see what they stand for, see how long they've been there, see what they've done. That's process of elimination. See where they stand in line with what your theology is or your line of thinking is. I'm telling you right now, I'm seeing a lot of stuff for this Team Curry. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to make any qualms about it. I'm not a fan of anybody on that Team Curry. They've been at the International House. Now you want to do good for them, for the members. You know, some of the stuff was happening when you were financial secretary. You tell me nobody watches the money? You tell me the money watched that loosely down there? Billions of dollars, and nobody pays attention to every penny? I find that hard to believe. So that's just my thought on that. Like I said, you just need to stop and if you want everything that's continuing to happen right now, come to pass, in my opinion, go ahead and vote for Team Curry. Go right ahead. But don't you dare one person complain about it, you know, or lie and say, oh, well, I didn't vote for them. Yeah, okay. We'll see what happens. So if you do not get a ballot by tomorrow,
hold on, you broke up, Scotty.
Oh, tomorrow, if we do not get a ballot by tomorrow afternoon, Adrian, who are we to get a hold of? The monitor?
Yes, but they have a different number. But I'm going to tell you, you can get in touch with the monitor. It's UAWmonitor-election@jenner.com. But they have a new one. But you can use that one. Because they keep switching up names. And I don't want to confuse people.
Right.
There's a lot of confusion going on. Even the phone number has changed.
right.
that you call. And it's like, I'm just sick of them.
Yes.
And the only
yes.
reason that I know is because I go through, but you can go on committee page, the committee to elect Brian Keller, if you're a member, and you can see we've already posted who you get in touch with according to this new number or whatever. I'm so frustrated and disgusted. I don't know what to do with this monitor.
I understand, Adrian. I want to reach out real quick to Brother Bacon that was on the show last weekend. I shouted out about something and you said something, but in thinking, I called Scott back. Was he talking about the strike vote we take to support our shop committee? If they can't get a grievance, we give them the right then to send an open letter to the International for a strike? Everybody does do that, but that doesn't mean you're going to guarantee to go out on strike Christmas Eve. But I just wanted to say, I think that might, you remember, Don, how we used to do that?
Yeah.
When we'd go into the local negotiations, we would give them a strike vote, okay, or nay, whatever way we voted.
Right.
Do the same thing with the National. Do the same thing with the National. Usually
I know.
30 to 60 days out.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I'm just thinking that's what he meant, and he was saying it wrong.
That could be.
Because there's no way in hell does that vote automatically mean you're going on strike. And besides that, like I told him, your International still got to bless the strike before it happens.
Right.
Saying and that, I'm sorry, Brother Bacon, if that's what you were trying to get through this old heart out of mine.
989, you're on.
Is it me?
989. That's your area
okay.
code. You.
All right. Yeah, I was gonna call in a couple weeks ago, but I work third shift, so I've missed the last couple shows, and I've had to listen to them in the morning. But the administration caucus does not want to get rid of tiers and temps. And the number one reason is for that is the money that they have coming in right now from temps. I'm from 598 over here in Flint Truck Assembly, okay? And we have over 1,000 temps in this place, okay? Only two of them are full-time, or 200 of them are full-time. Off the backs of three part-time temporary workers paying 2.5 hours, they can get $125 a month versus one seniority person that only pays 80 when they're topped out a month. You know, and plus on top of that, we have a every Saturday agreement in Flint. So let's load the place up with part-time temps, you know, and
yep.
we've rake in all this money. The, mm-hmm. the union is supposed to be protecting the most vulnerable workers, the most vulnerable members from being exploited by the company. And in turn, they're doing the same thing. They are exploiting part-time workers. In 2018, at the convention that Brian lost to Gary Jones, okay, at that convention, they voted, the delegates, if you work 40 hours in a month, you pay 2.5 hours dues. We have Saturday-only temps in Flint. Imagine Fort Wayne and Arlington as well, okay? They only work Saturdays. Oh, hey,
right.
You want to work an extra day? Yeah, they con these part-time workers, the Saturday workers, to work one extra day. Now it's possible for them to get 2.5 hours of dues out of this poor sap's one-day check.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
if all they have to do is work 40 hours a month and pay 2.5 hours of dues.
Oh, man, I never thought of that.
Yeah, right. You know, I've made a couple of comments on some of Brian's videos and other comments and on conversation threads lately the last couple of weeks about this, because like I was a temp for four years and 4 months in Flint, right? And I never had any problems with being represented by my local leadership or by my committee man or anything like that. I always was taken care of, looked out for, and everything, right? So I'm not talking about the local exploiting. I'm talking about the International Solidarity House exploiting part-time workers. If you look at the Constitution, the UAW Constitution, and the section where it talks about dues and who pays dues and how much dues they pay, okay, this is a really important part. Every single sector, if you look and read through that, every single sector has a special provision for part-time employees, part-time members to pay less dues, except for the auto industry. The auto sector does not have any special provision for part-time members to pay less than 2.5 hours of dues. Tell me that's not set up and tell me that that's not exploitation by the union itself.
Here, here. It is. And it's
wrong. Right. I mean, it's like I've been trying to call you guys for the last 2 weeks, but I just always end up sleeping through my nap before work. So this is a very touchy subject for me. I just got hired in. I have 2 years worth of seniority. Okay. I was a temp for 4 years and 4 months back before, because Brian and you guys are all talking about these companies and the union. They know what's happening 5 years in advance. Right.
Absolutely.
Well, that's why the dues bylaws and stuff rules were changed in 2018. Because in 2008, pre-19 negotiations, there was no limit on how many hours a part-time worker could work. I was labeled part-time flex temp for 3 years up until the 2019 negotiations. I was working every single hour I could possibly work. I was working 2,400 hours a year at labeled part-time. 2018 convention, they put the 40, you work 40 hours a month, you pay dues. 2019, guess what happened? Now there was a limit on how many hours part-time workers could work.
Right.
You know, I mean,
So you're in progression now then, right?
Yeah, I'm in progression now, yeah.
No, yeah, so how long at your step do you got to go before you top out? You got to go six years, 8 years? Yeah.
Who knows? Because the whole entire pay chart is convoluted. It's not what it was when it was ratified by us. You look at them, they say this. You look at that, you say to them, this is what I should be making. No, it's not. You re-ratify stuff, and then they change it after the fact. So don't get me wrong. I mean, when I was a temp, I was getting raises every 52 weeks worked, right? The new temps don't. So not only did I get those raises while I was a temp, but those 52 weeks worked also counted towards my starting wage. So when I got hired in, I was already making $24 an hour when I first got hired in.
Right.
Instead of the 1970. But I'll tell you, it's when these new temps and they're bringing them in, I only got to do this part-time thing for a year, and I go full-time after a year after that. That's not how it works. You're understanding them wrong, or they're telling you wrong. They are misleading these people in the orientations, telling them, 2 years, you get hired in. No, it's not, bud. It's 4 or 5 if you're lucky. It's going to be a long time. And when people start realizing what really entails being a temp and GM and being or Big Three or whatever, being part-time, I mean, we can't keep them. They're out. They're leaving.
Yep.
You can go down to McDonald's and make 15, 16, 18 bucks an hour, whatever it is now, or make more money other places and not have to deal with the part-time bull crap.
Right. Right. I knew a guy who was on a dock. He left. He left because he actually found a 40-hour job.
Right.
He says, look, I got a wife, I got 2 kids. He said, I can't keep doing this a couple of days every week. He said, I don't pay the bills.
Right. And on top of that, the temp insurance sucks. I mean, you got 100% co-pays to go to the doctor's office. To go to the doctor's office, it's $147. So I'm supposed to pay $147 when that's my take home every week?
Exactly.
Big Three, GM, Chrysler, and Ford need to step up, and they need to start paying a lot more for these employees that have no benefits. They don't have seniority. They don't have vacation time. They don't have the good health insurance. They need to be getting paid more. And this in-progression crap needs to go away too.
Right. The people who are running the international right now, the one who is running for president, Mr. Curry, he supports this system.
Yeah, because they get to live. Because I tell you what, they don't have all that joint money coming in anymore. So they got to have as much money coming in as they can of a part-time employees.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, before the convention, they increased everybody's pension down in Detroit, or up in Detroit, depending on where you're from, or over in Detroit, and then. They've gotten, Mr. Curry has gotten a 34% pay raise since the last convention. The last convention got 30, 31, plus the annual,
right.
the regular bumps. I think it's every 2 years for them. And then they just had to make a scene. I wasn't there, but I heard about it. They brought this to the floor to give another raise. And it was shot down, so they had a big clamor on the floor about it and then up on the stage, and so they re-voted again so they could get their raise.
Well, the way I see it, I mean, they're all about the whatever it's called during meetings, whatever that's called, right? Well, it was already voted down. How can you bring it back up and vote for it again?
Right, because they didn't get their way.
Right.
That's why. It's their show. It's their convention. You know, people say, well, this is the most democratic convention we've had. No, it wasn't. It was still controlled. We still know about the meetings that was taking place before the convention opened up and certain people being taken in certain rooms and talked to. We still know that happened. So,
yep.
And then people were getting texts on their phone. And then, at one point, during the nominations, it went on for hours instead of taking care of union business. You know, it's disheartening. And it's disheartening to hear what you had to go through and what you're still going through, because the way I look at it, you should be making the same amount of wage as I am.
Well,
okay?
That's the whole thing. They don't want to give people pensions. They don't want to give people health care when they retire, right? But then you're going to make me wait 8 to 10 years, or, you know, when you factor in my temp time, it's going to be 12 years before I make top wage. You know,
right.
I didn't start working for GM until I was 30. You know, I'm going to be in my 40s by the time I'm topping out. You know, I'm struggling to try to put away 15% of my money in my 401k because I didn't start until I was 35. You know?
And you don't qualify for the 85 and out, do you?
I don't even know what that is.
No.
So probably not.
No, he does not get a pension. He does not
get
a pension. He does not get a defined
pension.
You
talking about points? You talking about points?
Yeah, for retirement.
Yeah, I don't get a pension or anything, so.
For Social Security, you might get Social Security when you're 62 and a half or 67, whatever it is now, or 70.
Right.
But
again, people, this is why you can't support the Curry team or any clown. Call them what you want. Clown, ex-representative, they represent themselves fine. But listen to the cry of this man. 40 years old, and now he's got to try and get 30 years. Hell, he'll be 70 years before he can even think about hanging up his gloves and safety glass.
Right.
What
I mean, I'm going to turn 37 here in November. So, you know, and I got hired in when I was 35, and I got to try putting 30 years in, and I got to wait. I'm not going to top out probably until I'm in my early to mid-40s or whatever. I mean, who knows what the pay is going to be. As soon as somebody is converted, they need to go from 1667 right up to top wage. Right then and there.
So let's look at it this
Sorry,
way.
Sorry, brother. Sorry, my brother, but that should happen on your 91st MFing day.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So what we got, though, is unfortunately, is we have on the 2015 agreement, we put in the Tier 2, solidified the Tier 2 language, and then changed the name to In Progression.
Right.
And then what we had in the last contract was we put our own section there for temporaries. You got part-time temporary, long-term temporary, and permanent temporary. Okay. And then at the local level, they redefine them in different orders too. I understand that. But let's put this story in context. So here's the deal. Let's say you and I are on chassis one, okay? And
right.
I'm working up just a job in front of you or a job behind you. And then the person across the line doing the other side of the chassis, their attempt just like yourself, okay? We're still working at line. We get the same amount of breaks, same lunch, you know, basically we're told the same days to work and whatever else, right?
Right.
So let's look at it this way. We use just General Motors, and this is just an example. So we made $60 billion of profit for the year. Okay, if I divide that up between the 50,000 employees that General Motors has, which a chunk of that is, you know, are temporaries now and in progression.
Right.
Everybody has contributed to the corporate net profit of anywhere between $1.1 million and $1.3 million of profit to the corporation. Are you picking up where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
We're making so many more vehicles than what we were 20 years ago with a lot less people, and they're making more money with less people, and I can't afford to pay somebody a meaningful wage. I can't afford to hire somebody. I can't afford to give them a pension. Why
right.
is that? Because the International Executive Board, four contracts ago, started laying all the foundation for this. Were these people in a place and position either as an assistant director or a director for the regional or a servicing rep for either one of these regions, or were they on staff or were they a servicing rep down at Solidarity House? You know, because, I mean, we've got so many different levels of representation here. But the idea of it is how long have you people been down there and you known about this and nobody said nothing about it?
Right.
Okay. And now you want my vote for why? Because people are starting to figure out how badly I've been getting screwed by my union? Now, listen, I'm not going to blame the corporation anything. Okay. That's just the world. If I offer you something for 50 cents and I offer the same thing to Don Couch for $1.50, you're going to come see me for 50 cents for whatever I'm selling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay. That's what this law. I mean, if that's what they ask for and that's what you give them, well, shame on you. But hey, if you're the corporation and you got it, well, congratulations. You got what you wanted. Now, is it a partnership? Is it a failed business plan between the two of you? We don't know. But all I can say is this, is you want to get out there and tell everybody you're going to represent us. Well, if you look at the last 20 years of how we've been getting represented, I don't think anybody with any kind of a right mind, excuse me, could make a decision that's for anybody who's been on staff for the last 25 years.
My grandfather died in 2017, and back when this whole corruption thing blew up real big, right, and all of a sudden it was on the Detroit News, and it was just going crazy. Where they were going, they were the Norwood Jewel stuff, and all that stuff was coming out publicly, right? My grandpa's on his deathbed in the hospital, right? So I get out of work. And I go down to Genesis where he was. I was spending time with him. And we heard and I were talking about it. He's like, I don't know why everybody acting like this is something new. I was working I worked at GM and Chrysler back in the 60s. This stuff was going on back then. Where do you think MOUs started?
Right.
You ratify a contract. I'm not getting what I'm supposed to be getting. I go in. I fight against it. I appeal what I'm supposed to get. And my own union representation is telling me, hey, you don't want to do this. We have an MOU saying that you don't get these things. He's like, but it's right here in my contract. He's like, I got tired of this crap 50 years ago, 60 years ago. That's why I quit. That's why I quit working. He was a tool and die maker. He's like, that's why I quit That's why I walked away from that stuff, because I wasn't being represented. The contracts weren't real. It was all fake. And this is back in the 60s, he's saying. So, you know, he graduated high school in 57. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was the 60s right. when he was working. He walked away from it back then because he knew that it was all corrupt and nothing was real back then either. You know, he's like, this stuff has been going on the whole entire time, ever from the very, very, very beginning. This stealing money and corruption and collusion is nothing new.
Okay, hang on for a minute. Well, I've got a lot of callers that want to get on here. 810, you're on. Brian, you're on. And 734, let me click it. You are on. And if you're not talking, please mute your phone. Thank you.
Hello, everyone.
Hey, Brian.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, everybody. Well, I want to piggyback off of Scott. Companies, their net income for 2018 and 2019, both Ford and GM made $24 billion in net income, where Chrysler made $15 billion. We didn't get any of these things back that we've lost during the 2008 bankruptcy. Even in the 2014-2015 contract, their net income was still in the billions. We didn't get rid of the tier system or the temp system. The membership is not getting fair, just representation, no matter if you're a tier one, tier two, or a temp. And like I said, if they brought in a tier two to get rid of tier one, nothing's stopping these companies from bringing in a tier three to get rid of tier two. These people that have held office over these decades and hold the highest positions in the Solidarity House has done nothing to stop these things. Everybody keeps talking about what has Brian done, or Brian hasn't held any position. And I've said numerous times, including in the forum that I held Stewart and chairman under Local 412, Unit 15. Nobody disputed that because they know that's a fact. But Ray Curry has never held Stewart or chairman or local president in his own local. Now, they keep counting their experience, but I haven't seen any of these candidates that have held these top positions do anything to better the membership's situations. We continue down this path, and I don't understand why the membership keeps supporting the same people that have taken us down this path and that are deteriorating our union from within. Now, when people ask me what I've done, when I held Stewart and chairman, I represented my membership. I've never lost a grievance. And on top of that, if you Google my name, UAW Brian Keller, I had stood up against the Solidarity House when nobody else would. And I called out the leadership for their corruption and their collusion and their nepotism. So if you're going to ask me what I've done, that's what I've done. I called the leadership out for what they really were, for what they were doing within our union, undermining and lying and deceiving and threatening the membership. I don't hold a position at the Solidarity House. So at this point, I can't do nothing until I'm elected. But it was me and two other union sisters that filed the class action lawsuit and the complaint with the National Labor Relations Board based off the corruption and them bargaining our contracts in bad faith. I don't control the legal system, and I don't control the National Labor Relations Board. They said they dismissed our case because we didn't exhaust the grievance procedure. But you can't file a grievance against your own union. It's not possible. But I'd done everything in my power and with all the knowledge that I had to do what I can for the membership. And I'll continue to do that. These people in power now have not been able to shut me down. And they shut down all of opposition. You got to have some type of knowledge and experience to go up against the company you work for and the Solidarity House. So We can keep going down the same path expecting different results by supporting the same people that put us in this situation in the first place. Or you can select new people and hope for the best. Because I'm a union member on this floor too. My job was outsourced back in 2007. I'm going through the same things that the rest of the membership is going through. Just because I have it doesn't mean I can't lose it. Like, I have a pension plan, and I understand the individual that was talking does not have a pension. These are things that we're going to have to fight for. These are things that we're going to have to address. Like Scott was saying, you know, that the fact is John Deere was able to get post 97 pensions back and COLA. It can be done. But the thing is, we don't want to get things back and then trade off jobs and end up losing jobs like they did with John Deere. They ended up losing the tractor cabs to Mexico. The U.S. dollar is the world currency. It could pull the whole monetary system down worldwide if the U.S. dollar were to collapse. You can't have a strong U.S. dollar if you don't have a strong middle class with purchasing power. These companies depend on us. They cannot transition from combustible engines to electrical vehicles without us. This is our time to reclaim our union, to reclaim our rights, and to reclaim what we've lost and what we deserve. But the membership's got to use common sense and make an educated vote. We can't keep going down this path expecting Ray Curry and Sean Fain to make these changes for us when they couldn't even make it when they held some of the top positions in the Solidarity House.
Hey, I'm going to interrupt. Case in point, Sean Fain said on the top negotiating level with Cynthia Estrada for the then FCA contract, and he didn't have a problem with the temporary language or the pay structure or anything. You know what I'm saying? Just going to put that out there for you.
Well, not just that. He made a video Friday stating that I was lying about him, about the whole situation with Belvedere. With Belvedere not getting any product and losing shifts, he tried to make that sound like it was a local issue. That's not a local issue. That's an international issue. And the international's not addressing it.
Right, because that decision is being made at Stellantis, at that corporate headquarters, and somebody is talking to whoever is the vice president. So who is the current vice president over the Chrysler Stellantis group?
It's Cindy Estrada right now.
She's still the vice president?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought. Oh my goodness!
Only Terry did it.
So Cindy Estrada knew about that, and Sean Fain is one of her assistants, correct?
Yeah, he's the administrative assistant to the Chrysler department.
Okay, but does he answer to Cindy Estrada?
Yes.
Okay. Cindy Estrada knew about this. That's what I'm saying. Cindy Estrada, the corporation, when they're going to make a big move like that, bold move like that, they reach across the table and they tell their counterpart at International, look, this is what's happening. This is what we're going to do. Just giving you a heads up. You know, whether they like it or not or do anything about it, that's another thing. But still, they know about it. Somebody knew about this. They just didn't come out on a Monday morning and said, oh, by the way. You know what I mean?
And that's the same thing. That's the same thing with Trenton Engine and Warren Truck.
Exactly. And furthermore, keep telling people this on the back of them white pages, the master agreement, whatever you want to call it. And the back end of that, there are things that are set. The type is right across the top of the page. Not to be published. And it has plant closures. It has the products to be allocated to this facility, that facility, and this facility for this period of time and out this far into this far. They know that. That's why they don't want it being published. But that information is out there. And you know who knows that? Cindy Estrada, Sean Fain, Ray Curry, okay? These people all know this. They are aware of all this. That's what I'm saying. And if something else happens outside that contractual language, even in the back of those master catalogs, okay, the master contracts, the back end of that, if something else happens, you as a vice president should talk to the international president at that point and say, we need to call a strike because it violated my contract. Period. No discussion. You want to do, oh, by the way, next Monday we're going on strike. And let them know that on Friday. See? I mean,
But you know Ray Curry is not going to allow anybody to strike.
Ray Curry come out as soon as he was appointed and whatever you want to call it. However he come in his place and position. Okay? The golden child was chosen. He was put in that position. As soon as he did, his first statement, and it's in the Detroit News and it's in the Detroit Free Press, he said, I'm here to work with our partners. And he talked about the corporations. That was his very first official statement. He is not our friend, period. There, get me worked up. All right. So,
hey, guys,
remember,
I'll take the words out of his mouth. Vote early and vote often.
and you laugh, but I've been getting messages from tons of people that they're getting multiple ballots from relatives that have passed away that were union members.
So the locals
have not updated their information on their members in years.
I want to tell you something else that the locals are doing, and this may not be all of them. I'm not saying it is all of them, but I know that there are several of them that are doing this. This is JJ, by the way.
Hey, JJ.
Local 12, Deep Unit, Region 2B. I just got my local paper, and it is on the front page, but it's a tiny little column that maybe four paragraphs long about the upcoming election. And that's it. There's no information in there that people I've been seeing on social media asking about what to do if you don't get a ballot. There's no monitor contact information or anything like that. You know, don't receive a ballot or what to do if you do receive more than one ballot, right? It just says that we got an upcoming election and it's got the deadlines and it's got to be received by November 28th. And that's pretty much it. Oh, no, they do have the election monitor's phone number at the very bottom. They have an entire page for Region 2B, and, of course, all the photo opportunities with all the Curry caucus, a full page for the Region 2B update, not a single mention of the election in the Region 2B update. They have 1, 2, 3 1/4 pages dedicated to endorsements for local, state and local political endorsements for the state of Ohio. So,
yeah, we talked about that earlier, JJ. Adrian says, you know, when it comes to our election, things are few and far between. But when it comes to state and federal elections and stuff,
we're getting paperwork up the yin-yang, right?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of a joke, really, that the International is trying to put on this facade, this farce, that they support this election when they're not directing the locals to put out adequate information about this election. As a matter of fact, from what I see, obviously in this paper and on social media pages for my local and my local unit, the only ones that have been putting out and reminding people about the election, upcoming election, and putting information out about it are me and a few other members who are very involved, right?
Right.
Because we're not getting it from a presentation. I think that's absolutely terrible. So, you know, they're putting on a good act, but they're obviously not following through with the locals in ensuring that the information gets out about this to get maximum participation, because they know that the majority of people are upset and are going to throw them out of office.
My thing is Ray Curry or Sean Fain talking about getting any product line for Belvedere? Are they talking about getting pensions for those that don't have it and health care for those that don't have it? Are they talking about getting COLA and pension increases for both active workers and retirees? Are they talking about rolling over tents within 90 days? Because I haven't heard that from any of those candidates.
Right. Hey,
and that's what the membership needs to focus on.
On Sean Fain's literature, I have seen no temps, no tears on their literature, on his literature. But nothing
on
about Belvedere. Absolutely, yeah, on Fain. I have seen no temps, no tears, but nothing about any of the plants that are losing shifts, losing work, and getting work put back into those plants. And there's still nothing for my old plant either. There's a lot of hustle and bustle, but there's nothing confirmed for product for Dundee Engine Plant either that I'm aware of.
So my question is, why ain't Sean Fain calling out Cynthia Estrada on these issues?
And he loses his job.
Well, does he work
as staff of the GM board, remember?
I mean, his job is to represent the membership.
Well, your job is also, when you swear in, is to uphold and to further the International Union, too. That's in your oath.
Yeah, but you can't further the International Union if you're not furthering your membership.
Well, you can't further the... Can't further the union if you don't have that job either. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be funny about it, but you know as well as I do, if you back talk Ma, you're gonna get slapped, okay? And
I do it all the time.
I know, and you know, well, she's got some hard hands then. But anyway, when we're talking about campaign and stuff, I've been seeing a lot of stuff about racial. And racist and all this other stuff. Okay? And I can be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. But I'm telling you right now, okay, this isn't about race, folks. This isn't about who's a racist. Okay? You don't listen to the bullshit and the rhetoric. Go right ahead. The union that I joined, the union that I belong to, don't know color except for one, blood red. We're all in this together. We're all family. And sit here and have people nitpicking and saying this and that about all the other people, that's just a bunch of bullshit, okay? And if you want to get involved, then go ahead and waste your time. That's all you're doing. You're wasting your time, and it's cheap entertainment, okay? Look, there are more important points at hand about who you think is a racist, who isn't a racist. I don't care if the person's racist or not, because when they come down to negotiate your contract, guess what? It didn't do you any good, whether they were racist or not, whether that's what you thought. What matters is, what did your contract say? Who negotiated your contract? What happened to you? Did you gain or did you lose? Because it could have been 13 years before we had a meaningful wage gain. And then from that point, from 2018 to now, it's got $4. $4. $4 in, what, 20 years. That's our pay rate. See, people don't want to think about this. You need to put your head down and look. This is what's happening to you. Plus, we lost COLA. We was promised to get it back. We didn't. And since then, we got Tier 2 language and temporary language in our national contracts now. And don't forget, and then an answer contract too.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm trying figure out who is the vice president for GM currently? Because I understand that there's no vice president, and that Ray Curry is acting as vice president and as the international president also? Can you do that?
I've been told that's what he's wearing is two hats, just like Cindy's sitting on the board, Joe Ashton's own chair, you know, but if you go on their pages, they think that's cream cheese, man. I think it's wrong. We've got nothing back, people, all the money they made. But look at their salaries of international staff. They went from $70,000 a year to over $200,000 a year. Do you hear me? They don't get one pension. They get multiple pensions.
Wait a minute. Cindy cannot be on the board. Go ahead, Adrian. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I need that question answered. the money thing, we'll get back to that. But how is it that your international president can also be a VP over GM? I want to know that. Does anybody have an answer to that? Is that legal?
I don't know.
I'm going to tell you, don't ask the monitor that shit. But another question Scott brought up earlier, and I want everybody to listen to this. This is why I support Brian Keller. He said, screw the highlights when we go to a contract. Have that book that Scott talked about, you know, the one that had that shit in the back that said, do not publish. We have the right to see that whole goddamn book. I'm done.
Yeah.
Paul, you're on. I don't know if you heard me.
Greetings to rabble rousers.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul. Andy's also on the board of Mercedes Benz, correct?
Well, he's been on the boards of, they're on boards of everything. This is a concern. Holding positions in the international. That means he gets the vote twice.
Yes, you're right. I'm looking at I'm going to interrupt right now. I'm looking right now at the UAW's International Executive Board page. President, Ray Curry. Secretary Treasurer, Frank Stuglin. Vice President Cindy Estrada and Vice President Chuck Browning. Well, we know Cindy has Solanas. We know that Chuck has Ford. There is nobody representing General Motors, so that is, by all means possible, he's wearing two hats.
You're getting paid for two jobs, then?
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah.
Two votes, two jobs, getting paid for two, getting pension money accumulating, because pensions accumulate according to hours. There's a lot going on there.
I was going to say plenty of things, but I know it's been busy. I believe it's in Article 12. Technically, no member has a right to sit on a local or international executive board in two positions. Okay. What I assume they're trying to do is that they don't want the political heat of appointing, just like Ray Curry was technically appointed under the Constitution, to, you know, the president's office. But really, if they follow the Constitution, they should have probably did the same exact thing to appoint within, because that's what the Constitution says, until the outcome of the selection.
Right.
That's, if they wanted to follow the Constitution, I think that's probably what they should have done. But like I said, it's in there. I think it's Article 12 that no, a member can't sit on two positions on the e-board. Now, a member can be a bargainer and an e-board, but they can't have two positions on the e-board.
Well, this maybe they didn't do it because we're so close to the elections, you know,
well,
and maybe
sure.
That's why they didn't do it.
This brings
well,
up
I'm,
a problem,
I'm sure.
Another problem. They turn in their resignations for July the 31st. Didis, however you say his name, he was sincere about his. Cindy Estrada was supposed to be gone also. But you held her over. And, you know, I know that according to the rules, that could be. Well, why didn't he stay until after the election? I mean,
right.
It could be all kinds of things. He could have had some other issues or whatever. But someone should have been appointed to replace him.
By their own language, they should have.
Right, even if it's for 6 months, at least somebody's
right.
Filling that position. Or you take another vice president and you give them both the big companies, but not the president.
Yeah, you take the two and you split them. You split the baby between the two vice presidents that's there.
Right.
Well, this whole discussion illustrates why we need to elect a rabble-rouser like Brian, because when you have a one-party system, neither our Constitution nor our contracts mean anything.
Yeah,
because as long as one group of power controls everything, they can rewrite the rules, they can ignore the rules, they can do whatever they want. And the thing is, when it's time to vote, I'm urging people not to vote for anybody who currently holds office, because when you look at the way our contracts are structured, they don't want you to strike. They haven't indicated they're going to go for any gains because in their mind, we're getting what we're worth, you know, which is... It goes beyond what's specifically in our contracts. They just have a very arrogant attitude, very condescending toward the membership, whether you're part-time or legacy worker or pensioner. They've been very generous with themselves. They've always refused to bargain cost of living on pensions, but they have it for themselves. They haven't bargained any kind of pension increase in a decade and a half for us, but they've gotten it for themselves. They've gotten pay raises, and they think that a new hired worker should work for half of what I made in 2009, and it's pathetic. And I just hope the people out there are willing to take a good look at what's happened to them and vote against these clowns.
You know, Jim was talking about that earlier. It's illegal for Cindy Estrada to sit on the board of directors at General Motors and still be hold a vice presidency at the International Union.
Things like that.
Well, the Constitution means nothing, because when you look at what the Constitution says it's the goal of the union to increase wages and pensions and enhance job security. Yet, with our contracts with the corporations, we've obligated ourselves to continuous improvement and helping the companies be more efficient. Those two goals are contradictory. You can't fight for good working conditions and then buy into the concept of continuous improvement.
No, this goes against the Department of Labor and what they say, what organized labor is supposed to do. And we are going to go till 9 o'clock tonight, folks. I apologize. I forgot to announce that. And if you want to join the conversation, please press 1. If not talking, please mute your phone.
We got a caller right now, 323. Let me get you on. You're on right now, 323.
Okay. Hello, Donnie. How are you? Hello, Adrian, if you're out there.
Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Hello, people. Hey, Donnie, you got time for about 3 minutes in the green room?
Yeah. Go ahead, Scotty. Take over.
All right. So, I was talking to Paul about this. City of Strata, it has nothing to do with our UAW Constitution. It has nothing to do with what the Department of Labor says about organized labor and the positions that organized labor is to carry forward, okay? You know, they're supposed to worry about our pay, hours to work, and they're supposed to maintain, and there's some discussion around this, but I can't think of the word I'm looking for now. Basically, they're not supposed to be management's friend, okay?
Right.
They're supposed to be our guy, not their
arm's
guy.
Arm's length. Bargain at arm's length.
Well, yeah, that's what Ruther would say. Keep management at arm's length. But they are to keep when you fight. Adversarial. They're to keep an adversarial position with management.
Right. Right.
And that's under the guidelines of the Department of Labor for organized labor
right.
representatives. That's our union in this case. So if Cindy Estrada was sitting on a board and being a vice president, she would be illegal in the law, not because of the Constitution, not because it's
right.
morally wrong, because it's downright illegal because now you really got one foot in each pot. You can't do your job effectively for either company then or either party.
Right.
Supposedly. We see how that works. We see a lot of people who have their feet in both pots, and they seem to do pretty good for the corporation, not for the membership.
Well, the law that allows for the formation of labor unions, the purpose was for mutual defense. You know, so if workers could bond together and defend themselves against the companies, our problem is we don't need anybody to defend us against our union.
You're muffled. Could you repeat that?
I'm talking into the microphone. I said the law that authorizes formation of unions says that the reason for union is for mutual defense.
You got to talk into the mic, Paul. You're talking into the side of the phone or something.
Mm-hmm. Maybe my phone's going up. I don't know. I'm just saying, super to the union to defend ourselves against the company. Maybe I'm waiting for me to defend us against the union.
I want to make a PSA again about the ballots, the people that haven't received a ballot. I did go and get the correct email address for the monitor. It's uawmonitor.com/ballots. The phone number is 855-433-8683. Now, if you know like I know, I don't like phone calls. I like everything in writing. So I'm telling you that the preference would be for you to email the monitor so that you can get a written response back. But that's up to you as to how you do it.
Or do it both. Right?
Well, you don't want to be bothered with that.
Oh, absolutely. That means you're not going to bother somebody twice as much because of some baloney going on. Yeah, it's Oscar Mayer time, baby. Bring out the bread and the mayonnaise and the mustard. Let's go. And throw some lettuce on that baby, too. And for us old school, we'll try that baloney first. How's that? Just saying. But, no, there's so much rhetoric going on. Like you say, there's panic going on right now with the monitor and the Russians. And people are getting through the rails. I haven't got one yet. Okay, and I know that they got my correct address. I know my local does. Because they sent my answer to my appeals to my address from my local. So I know they got my address. That's just saying. But there's so many side issues. People, don't get yourself concerned with all this stuff that's going on in life. So focus. Focus on one thing. This election. Don't go on this and that and this and that. Listen to who's going to get you what you want. Okay? Because these guys are saying, oh, I'm going to do this. You had an opportunity. You missed it. And this other person, you had an opportunity. You missed it. And for the guy who's at the top right now and he wants to do all this stuff, you already said right up front that they're partners of the corporation. And we need to work with them. Okay? That's all right there. You're not my union labor leader no more. Okay? You're a business partner with somebody. Walter Ruth would never have done that. Never. And remember what Victor said when he was here in Clinton almost 30 years ago. We are the backbone of the corporation. We are the workers. The ones that are getting paid $15, $15 an hour, and the ones that are getting paid $30 an hour. We're the backbone. And parts of the backbone are getting weak because they're not getting strong. How do they get strong? Put some more money in their pocket. Like that brother said from 598. Look, he's going to be, you don't know how long he's going to be before he ever gets to his top scale. By the way, his top scale, $28 and change. Look at the contract, folks. People tell you, well, they get conventional wages. No, they don't. They top out at $28 and change. That's in this contract also. Unless I'm mistaken, Paul, Jimmy, anybody else? Go away?
No.
Okay. Well, it's the same with Ford, the same with Stellantis, a.k.a. Chrysler. Okay. Brian, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Brian? I mean,
yeah.
what are your guys top out at in progression versus Stellantis?
Oh, shit, what are we at? We're 30. Well, because I'm parts distribution, so I think I'm at, I'm somewhere around 31, 79 or something like that.
Yeah, but you just got your 4%, right? The selection
3%.
Contract, you got your 4, or is that after the percent?
3%.
3%.
Yeah.
4%. So
no.
You got a bargaining pattern. Pattern bargaining. How come you got 3 and we got 4? What's up with that?
I believe it was 3%.
Okay.
It was 2-3% and 2 lump sums.
I think if every
right,
other
you get
year,
a raise,
3%,
you get a lump sum, a raise, a lump sum, and then a raise.
Yeah.
But the raise, if you equate the raise out, I'm sorry, folks, for 4 years, comes out $1 down an hour. A $4 raise for 4 years. Tell me something you ain't laughing
about. Yeah, everybody gets that. And progression don't get the 4%. Or progression.
That's That's right. They don't.
Like they get last year. Like they got last year.
And
we didn't get that.
No. This year is, yeah.
And projected. And projected. Right?
And now
we are still able to move up. And progression.
You're right.
This was Sean English. But the in progression did get the raise, and they did get the 4%, just so y'all know. They did get it. So it was a 3-4. The in progression did receive it this time.
Now, was that for Ford, or was that for everybody?
I know it's the launches they did, only because they changed the contract from 2015 to 2018 to make sure they got it, because they were considered, because they were getting 2 pensions, so there was a big issue about that, and they bitched about it. So the last contract in 2018, they did fix that, so they do receive that for the record.
Is this LaShawn?
Yes,
it is.
This is LaShawn English. How y'all doing? Yes, it's me.
Hello, LaShawn.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Anyway, how y'all doing? We're doing pretty good, but what they said from 598, he's in for grand worker. If I remember right, they kept that language with the 2 dates. If you hire them before this date or after that date, you missed out on something. I'd have to go back and look at the contract. But there's two different dates there for in progression workers. And if you were before this
you
date,
know
you
know what?
Yeah.
I did just look at something at GM. Somebody did send me some stuff from GM. And at Chrysler, it says they have to act, at GM, they said you have to actual work these days and be on roll. Their contract on it, where they're getting their raise in the 3%, is a little bit
right.
Shady. At Chrysler, it doesn't matter if you're on roll or not. You got it. Just as long as you come back at the 90 days. But you are correct, the GM. Someone did send me the contract. I thought they were lying. And I am for Flint, and I was like, oh, that couldn't be possible. But, no, GM kind of screwed them. If you go out on medical, you go out, you miss a day, you don't get it. It says actual work day. So it is kind of, it pushes them back
can
on different time periods.
Hang on real quick. What else they do? They just don't tell them they don't need them that week. They don't need them that week.
Yep.
They know exactly who's in that school time. They'll come. We don't need you this week. And then, like you said, we got over 1,000 cents in there. We'll back them with somebody else. And they can purposely do that.
Well, it's like these part-time workers, they're supplemental. They have 3 different supplemental categories. So when they know you're almost up to your 3 years to get rolled over, if they unschedule you for 90 days, you got to start over. So they know what they're doing. I mean, GM have people 2, 3, 4, they work them a bunch of days, and they don't, then you got to restart over. So too many tiers,
you know
there. They
else?
Got tiers after tiers after tiers.
You know who else knows that? I'm going to tell you who else knows that. Our local union leadership. Our shop chairman,
yep.
Our president,
yep.
Our district shop committeeman know that. Our regional director knows that.
Yeah,
the assistant regional director and the service director know that.
Only Tim. Well, we haven't been working. And they've been over 30 days, so all their days start over?
Yes. There's people that... For General Motors, there's language that if... Let's say you're so close to being the permanent. I can't say permanent. Help me out here, brother from 598. What do you call it when you're full-time temporary? Thank you. Full-time temporary. They know when you're close. If you're out, if you get laid off and you're out, I believe 30 days, you have to start that time all over again, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Correct. They don't even call it layoff. They say unscheduled.
Yeah.
Unscheduled.
And, I mean, you could be out You could be out for part shortages, anything.
Yep. That's insane. And this is what our union's doing
and
for us,
and Scott, and those increases, so the hourly wage increase is 3%, and the lump sums were 4% for Chrysler.
Okay. Okay, that's probably what it is with us, too. I'd have to go back and look. Well, what's 1%? You know what I mean? I mean, you look at the raises.
I mean, we went 13 years without a race to begin with. The stand half down in Detroit didn't go without that. We did. Okay, and then we do get the race, and it comes out, what the guy say last week. It's a dollar an hour. So what it comes out, we got a $4 race since 2015.
Well, the inflation took care of that.
Yeah.
So it's not really a race.
More than.
And
some of the corporations are actually boost because of inflation. Gee.
And then think about it, though. Only half of them really got a raise. Think about it. I mean, some of them wouldn't have got a raise until 2018 because 2015 they still had that in progression, but you had to work so many months to get that raise. So it's crazy. Some
right.
people took 8 years to get to the top, some of these new people. So this is what we're getting. And they're still telling the new people who just got hired. So they're not going to top out. This is the lie that they're telling us at International, that there will be no in progression at the end of this contract. Lie number one. If you were hired after the last contract, there's no guarantee that you will. You only get like $24, I think, if that's the most. That's if you was hired on that day.
Oh, just like them saying they got rid of the tiers, but the fact is they didn't get rid of tiers because they don't have pensions or health care.
Who do I write the check to?
What happened to everybody?
Still here.
What happened to everybody?
Everybody got quiet at the same time. Which is
crazy.
But I agree with LaShawn English. I mean,
his name on
that? I agree with LaShawn English. These people keep sitting there saying that, you know, they're doing away with tiers, they're doing away with this. But the reality is we still have a tier system. We still have a temp system. And like I said, Bob King said many years ago, they're not getting rid of the tier system or the temp structure because they don't want these companies to find themselves in bankruptcy again. So you know damn well they're not going to fight to get rid of the tier and temp system or to get back what we've lost.
Here, here. I want to be quiet.
What is the new number that the labor costs to, like, at Ford, I think we were like 40 cents out of every truck, or was it a percentage? I can't remember. Terry might know. But the labor cost of all of this is only like 40 cents per truck, or well, I don't remember.
It's 7%, I think, is what they figure is all in total cost per vehicle. Okay, all in total cost is the labor, benefits, pay, the cost it costs to run that factory. They figure out every square inch inside a factory.
That can't be accurate because they thought that back in 2008 during the bankruptcy that we were 7% of the labor cost. But the workforce is much smaller
today.
Yeah,
I'm sure they got their cost down.
Yeah, that cost is
right.
way down.
But the cost of insurance, the cost of energy has went up.
But you got to remember that BIBA, you know, the health care for the retirees went over to the union, so they took that off their books. And the fact that we got tier two that don't get health care when they retire, and the workforce is much smaller today than it was 20 years ago.
And the dirty thing that we need to talk about real quick while we're talking about this, and I'm pretty sure this happens across the board for the D3, is that the temporaries and the in-progression workers are still, we still get paid COLA, folks. We just don't get in our paycheck. It gets rolled over into the VIBA. So the temporary worker and in-progression worker are paying into a system that they're not going to be a participant of when they leave the factory.
Are you sure that's still the case, Scott? Because my understanding is COLA no longer goes into the VBA. The companies just took that away, and now the VBA is being funded based off the interest of the VBA.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's my understanding. I could be wrong, but
it makes sense.
I believe that's the case.
Pink chapter at home for your records.
The VBA doesn't make money.
Whoever is on the phone, not on the show, please mute your phone. You're not talking. I don't know.
Hey, Adrian.
Yeah.
I thought the VBA. I thought that money that was in the VBA.
Hold on. Who is that? Thank you so
much. LaShawn, please mute your phone.
I'm muted. That wasn't me.
Okay, that's not you. All right. Sorry.
I think
you know,
she
I
might
always get in trouble.
Right. Better you than me, as Scotty and Adrian.
Well, what was
I thought
Brian
that
had a
I thought that money that was in the VBA was in the stock market. I thought that's how they were between that and the interest of the strike fund, or I'm sorry, the interest of the VBA. I thought that money that was there was in the stock market.
I'm not going to say that.
Does anybody got that solidary I'm sorry, does anybody got that solidary magazine? I think they tell us about something about the VBA.
Yeah.
Isn't it in there? I want a financial statement or something. I might be wrong, too, but
yeah,
I'm a little.
One is
I'm
shit here, right,
honey?
Yeah.
I'm
not
sure.
What I'm going to say about that is because the VBA, you know that you have so many people that are eligible for the VBA, but I'm not going to – I know the UAW folks that we have are not the smartest people in the world, but it would not make sense to have that monies in stocks because stocks are volatile. And so – and right now, they lose a lot in stock. And do each company have in the VBA program?
In this envelope?
Yeah.
Yeah, the funding that they do, they don't, there's a part of it that they can put in the stock market and play with. But the majority of that is in mutual funds, which right now, even with that kind of money, it's minimal increase.
This is a spender, right?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out then, somebody said that in 15, the VBA calculations ended. I'm not sure.
How do you spell your name?
And we can't really find out because it's secret.
TRA? MISF?
What?
What's that?
What secret, Scott?
If you go to the VBA, because all this records were sealed, we can find out who's on the board, but to try to find more solid information on the VBA, it's like a secret. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to find this information.
Every year, at least once a year, the retirees get a letter from their companies regarding the VBA, and it tells you how much is in the fund.
Right.
Okay. Also, you do know, and I've said it before, one fund cannot borrow from the other fund.
Right.
So if your fund runs out, that's it.
Right. And that's why I thought they were still rolling the COLA over into the VBA to keep the VBA growing, because as the insurance costs rise, instead of helping the retirees out, what they're doing to like you and Don, certain prescriptions they're raising the cost on, or they're eliminating them completely. And when you look at the letter, it says they've got like $3.62 billion. Well, that's not a lot of money. We got more people coming into the VBA, but we have people going out the backside too who are they're deceased, you know? So, and when that person deceased, then that pension, or at least it could be surviving spouse gets 65%, or it could be the spouse is gone.
You come off the VBA, Scott. You know that. You come off the VBA the minute you go on Social Security. At least I did. Everything I'm
right
now goes through
because
Social Security, so all that money.
Right,
I know, but I'm just saying. You keep saying all them people are coming off. We've actually got off this VBA years before we died. Whoever's mail in the book is pretty fucking rude.
There is 10. Give us 20.
Okay. So we'll just put a...
Mute your phone talking? If you're not talking on the show, please. Your background noise is disturbing the rest of the show.
Yeah, whoever's talking about sending the fucking book back, get off the show.
Hey, just mute your phone. At least, so we got about 8 minutes left. Yeah, so 8 minutes left. So, I don't know. I'd be interested to find out because if they're not rolling the COLA back over to the VBA, then that's extra money they're saving, and that's money that's not going into the VBA. I wasn't aware that they stopped that in 15.
Yeah, that's what Handlein was trying to bring to the federal government. He went to D.C. Do you remember that, Scott? Bill Handlein tried to take that to D.C., and he was actually shut down there over it. He was trying to tell them, hey, where the hell is it all going?
Right. I mean, and Dick even says that that's what they've been doing for years.
Hey, I'm gonna get yours.
So, I don't know. I guess I don't know how we find out how if there's any more contributions being made on behalf of the corporation to the VBA, because that's who's forwarding our COLA money out from us to the VBA. And it was the temporaries and the tier twos were paying into that. For years they did.
Oh, yes, they did. Last I knew, that nickel fund that Jerry Jones started when they took COLA away, Handlein told me in 2017 or late 17, that nickel had now built up over $7 without roll-up. That's what he was raising hell about. That's why he goes, you wouldn't believe what you're at. If they would have kept COLA, our wages would have been out
put
real.
Put this in your backpack, bud.
Right. Well, we may have to end the show early. It's only being interrupted. I don't know. LaShawn, it was nice hearing your voice. Thank you for joining the show. Everything going good at the gates? Oh, did LaShawn leave? Must have. All right. Well, hopefully she'll come back next week. And before we get too close, Adrian, I can't bother you one more time. If you don't get a ballot tomorrow afternoon, could you put that information out one more time, please?
That information is uawmonitor.com/ballots with an S on the end. 855-433-8683 is the phone number.
Thank you.
And
don't receive a ballot, or you soil your ballot. Either email them or call them.
Right. Right. And Adrian, how do you, how does people contribute to Brian's campaign?
Oh, Brian's campaign information, if you want to donate, would be $ Committee BLK under Cash App. Or if you'd like to mail a check or money order, you can mail it to Brian Keller for IUAW President, P.O. Box 2483, Belleville, Michigan, 48112.
There you go.
Okay, so try to see one more time. LaShawn, you there?
Same size as the TVs.
No, she's not there. All right. Well, thank you for coming on tonight. We'd like to have her back on next week if we could. But we'll see what happens. And then when do ballots have to be back in by?
By the 28th, they got to be postmarked.
TVs, honey, is from the top corner to the
of
back.
November or of October?
November. November.
November.
November 28th at 9 a.m. to be exact.
That's for happy.
Thank you, Adrian.
Yeah, I wouldn't deal with that.
There you go. Watch each other's
back. Scott, stop the saying, BS, don't forget, it's shenanigans.
Shenanigans.
Shenanigans is the word. The word. I finally found who was having the background talk, finally. Yes, I finally found it. Yes, and I did it myself. There you go. Mute yourself or I'll find you eventually. Of course, it's the end of the show, but... thank you, Lemon Scotty.
I want to say thank you to all of the candidates that came on the show this evening.
Not just that, I want to thank all the candidates, not just that came on the show, but I want to thank all my supporters. I truly appreciate you standing with us.
You're here.
Here, here. Yep.
All right.
So... all righty. Well, that's another one in the books, Don. And everybody, we all need to give positive thoughts or prayers, whatever you believe, to Don and his wife, Cinnamon, because they both got the Rona. So we need to help them feel better.
Oh.
Yes.
Hope you're doing better.
Yeah.
Yeah, we will. We will.
I wish you had told me so I could have put my mask on through the phone.
Yeah, no, baby.
There's some shenanigans.
I don't love you that much that I want that.
There's
some shenanigans.
You know, we had to have a little joking going on. You know that.
Yes, we do, dear.
Yeah, right. Tell the monitor he can.
Saying Adrian,
how
is this?
Oh, flush twice. That's a long way to the kitchen, right? Stop it.
All right.
So. Till next week, then, I guess.
Yeah, we got about 20 seconds. Next week, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Get Brian's information. If you can afford a couple of bucks, send it his way. Because it costs a lot of money, folks, to run a campaign.
We appreciate it.
Nationwide campaign. So,
yes.
Got an extra dollar or two, send it to Brian, and it will be greatly appreciated.
Yes, yes.
Yes, it will be. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Hey, Adrian, did you want to put the meet and greet information out real quick?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Damn, Adrian, what's wrong with you?
I forgot about the meet and greet. We've got a meet and greet coming up next Sunday. It's free to all. It's a question and answer for Brian, and it's at the VFW Hall in Shelby Township. What is that address? 8311 Wilson. And it's from 2 till 6.
And it's right off of Van Dyke.
Yes, in between Van Dyke and 24 Mile Road.
Yes.
That's the way they have it listed.
Damn.
So I hope to see you there.
Absolutely.
Yes. Make sure
and you can always check the committee page. The information is on the committee page. Committee to elect Brian Keller. And if you want to join the page, make sure you answer all the questions. Otherwise, we'll decline you. We won't accept it.
We don't take real, folks. Only good UAW members may apply. All right, everybody, we are done for the night. Enjoy the rest of the week. Be safe. Don't forget, if you got a couple extra dollars to get Brian's way, it does cost a lot of money.
And hopefully the brother from 598 can come back next week, too. He offered a lot of insight from his level. He really did.
Yeah, he did. Yes.
So
things I didn't even pay attention to. I hope he comes back. All right, brother. Everybody, sister. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night. Be safe and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Be well.
Of course, now it won't shut off.
Good night. Good night.